Today on The Journey with Steve DeWitt, a lesson on living for eternity.
This changes everything. When we really get it and when we really believe it, because we embrace the suffering and we embrace the service opportunities and we embrace the sacrifices and we embrace being stewards of everything that God has given to us. Why? Because I want to lay up treasure there. I'm looking forward to seeing Christ there, and I want to be commended by him and to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what I want.
The choices we make not only determine our lives here on earth, they also shape our eternal destinies. Welcome to The Journey with Steve DeWitt. Today, Pastor Steve shares the final part of a message all about God's eternal rewards and why we should seek them. We're gaining a fresh perspective on living for eternity, where the richness of knowing Christ surpasses all earthly treasures. You'll find this message and its previous parts online at thejourney.fm. Just look for the Christ First series. But now, let's get started. Here's Pastor Steve DeWitt.
You can look at today's message basically like application messages from 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15. So we're not plowing ahead in the text, but we're stopping and saying, what does this mean? And what does the Bible, how does the Bible fill in what Paul is saying here? So the question I would imagine that most of us, if you're tracking with me, would be asking is, okay, so you're saying to me that if we live today faithfully to the Lord, serve him, that he is going to reward us. Well, then, like, what are these rewards? The Bible uses a few key words when it talks about what these rewards are. And so let's just walk through some of the main ones. Here's the first. When the Bible talks about eternity, it talks about reward or inheritance. The reward, whatever this is, we haven't filled this in totally yet, but the reward is given by Christ to his people based upon the service that they have offered to him in their life. That's the first thing. The second word that is often used in Scripture when it talks about this is crown or crowns. To have a crown was eminently desirable, not because of the crown itself. Listen to me, not because of the crown itself, but because of the honor and the blessing that possessing a crown meant. So as we think about a crown, I don't want you to think about a metallic crown, a physical crown. This is what a crown meant. A state of honor or blessing for those who wore them. A state of honor or blessing for those who wore them. Receiving a crown was not about the value of the crown. It was about the value of the honor that having the crown produced in your life. So the crowns then are symbolic. This is the thing I want you to realize. They are symbolic of the honor and the blessing that Christ is going to give to his faithful servants. A third word that is often used is the word treasure. Treasure. Back to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Apparently, there is a way to live this life in a way that you are laying up treasure in heaven. And we've talked about this at length, that we are to be stewards of the things that God puts in our life here. We're not to live for here, but we are to live in such a way that we are putting treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves cannot break in and steal. And the treasure, by the way, of heaven is not money. Someday, we are going to look back at the way that we lived and the way that we loved money and how all the work and the time and the effort and how much we thought about it and worried about it. We're going to think back to these days that we're living right now and our perspective on money, and we're going to laugh about it, and we'll probably grieve because there will be no money in heaven. There will be no money in the new earth. There won't be any need of that anymore. Real treasure in eternity, the thing that is going to be, in a way, like money to us today, the thing that people are going to crave in eternity, is the fullness of knowing Christ. And for Christ to be the treasure in that life and to maximize in that life, he must be the treasure in this life. As best I can tell, that's what the treasure's about. That's what the riches are. And those that love Christ will want it a lot. Now, trying to anticipate questions that might be thinking in a sort of logical way, the first question we'd say, well, what are these rewards exactly? We've talked about that. If you're tracking with me, the next thing you're wondering about is, well, what then is the criteria for God giving these rewards out? It is the sacrifices in this life. It is the trouble and the suffering and the intentional risk-taking for the sake of Christ in this life that Christ is promising to reward. These scriptures are calling us to live for that day and to anticipate when I am going to stand before the Lord and give an account for my life, and my life is going to be evaluated by the one who loves me. Truly, he loves me, but he also is my master and has given very specific commands to his people and promises to reward everything that we have done. By criteria now that I'd like to give you that describes this. Oh, by the way, I got one other thing I want to say. Here's how I try to bring together salvation that is entirely by grace, apart from human effort, and rewards that are based upon what we do in this life. The way that I try to synthesize these is that the fact that all is from God. And the grace that God gives me in salvation is what produces my desire to serve him at all. So that in the end, really, he is the source of my service, which is how he gets the glory for it. It is I who do it. Nobody does it for you. But I serve him because I love him, and I love him because he first loved me, 1 John 4:19. That's how I try to bring those two things together. Okay, so let's get to what you're wondering. Okay, Pastor Steve, that's very nice, but what are the criteria? Okay, here are some of the criteria that the Bible says will be the basis for the rewards that Christ is promising. James 1:12, enduring temptation and trial. You do that, there's a reward for it. The Bible says, Jesus promises that there is reward for those that are faithful in the midst of trial. And perhaps God will use that to encourage somebody today. I hope so. Enduring temptation, diligently seeking God, Hebrews 11, verse 6, motivated by God's praise, not man's, dying for Christ. Martyrs will, I have to believe, will be richly rewarded for their sacrifice. The degree of sacrifice that we give. Jesus says, no one who has left father, brother, mother, sister, in-laws, la, 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 all these things, will fail to receive 100 times as much. In other words, in the scale of rewards, God measures the degree to which we sacrifice for him. The more that you have left, the more that you have given up, the more that you have been, that you've done this, you've suffered for the sake of Christ, the more he is going to reward us. And the opposite is also true. The less that we have done that, the more that we've sought our comfort, the more that we have just thought about ourselves in this life, the less we will be rewarded. There's a scale. Faithfully doing God's will and longing for Christ's return brings a reward. Acts of kindness are rewarded. Hospitality, this, you know, cups of cold water passage. Not one will be forgotten. Think of that. That's something that's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, think of the mind of God. How many people are, 6 billion people in the world, I don't know how many, maybe a billion are at least professing Christians, and this has been going on for all of these years, and somehow in the economy of God, in the mind of God, he doesn't forget even little things like cups of cold water. Whoa. Wow. He doesn't. Faithfulness in service. It is required that a man be found faithful, a steward be found faithful. Faithfulness is richly rewarded. And then stewardship of abilities and opportunities that God gives to us. The parable of the minas and the parable of the talents, where one is given 5 and one is given 3 and one is given 1, and that the 5 makes 5 more and the 3 makes 3 more. And you see in that the 3 is not blamed for not making 5 and the 5 is not commended for making more than the 3. There is a scale of stewardship. How much were you given? How many opportunities did you have? What are the gifts? What are all the other things that you've been given? And this will then be the measure of what we did with it. So all of these, and I'm sure many more in the mystery of the mind of God, are put into the mix as basis for evaluation and reward for us in heaven. And what I want you to recognize, friends, listen to me, is that salvation and eternal life are the same for all Christians. But eternity and the honor and the distinction in the new earth are not the same. Some will be richly rewarded and others will not. And of course, the thing that I want you to be thinking to yourself is, what about me? What about me? So why don't we take another look at this list? Do it. Go ahead right now. Go slow. Go slow. And this may not seem that important to some of us here, but I'm here to tell you right now, someday, nothing will be more important to you than this. Something else that I think is noteworthy here is how God measures so differently than we do. When we look to people that we think are really great Christians or eminent Christians or some of some kind, we tend to look at people that sort of stand out in some way. They've done some really remarkable thing, or they've got some big ministry, or they've somehow got men's applause in some way where they go, oh, those are the people that are really going to be somebodies in the new heaven and the new earth. I don't think so. I was talking with some people about after the service last night. I think the people that are going to be the somebodies on the new earth are going to be people that we have never heard of. There's going to be some Indian lady who, served in some village somewhere, and she was faithful for 40 years taking care of some group of children, but she did it faithfully, and she prayed for them by name, and she loved them, and she just did it as a ministry to the Lord. She never had nothing, and nobody ever heard of her, and I have to believe that that's the person who's going to be a somebody in heaven. This is what Jesus said. You know, the judgment day is going to be a shocking day. Many who are first are going to be least in the kingdom. And many who are last will be first. And this, I believe, is what he is saying to us, that God's evaluation is so different than ours. All right, what's the point? Here's what I want you to get today. Listen. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. We all have the same opportunity. Today, we are all alive, are we not? We are alive. We have a day. We have a week in front of us. We can't change what we did last week, but this week is in front of us. And this is another week, and today is another day in which Christ himself is observing and is watching and is longing. Here's the thing. He wants to reward his people. He is generous. He is not cheap. He is generous. He longs to reward us. But this reward comes on the basis of our service and sacrifice and stewardship to him. And so it's like the napkin with the waitress at the restaurant. We're going to be dead soon. You are going to be dead soon. And the things that are weighing on your heart right now and that maybe you think are important, I am very confident that when you are dead, it's not going to matter anymore. It's not. You're not going to care about it. And in that moment, when we leave this life and we step into the next, and I don't know exactly the chronology of it, but when we stand before Christ, think of it. There he is in all of his resplendent glory and his eyes like the sun. Imagine it's like standing in front of the sun. That's Christ in his glory. And there he is, and he's just, and we stand before him to give an account for our life. I hear people sometimes, they'll be like, oh, you don't think that all of our deeds are going to be put up on a big screen and all the people in heaven are actually going to know about it? You're not going to care. You are not going to care about Susie or Joni or Larry. Think about what they see on the screen. There's no screen anyway. You're not going to care. There is only going to be one opinion that you are going to care one whit about, and that is his. What is he thinking? What is he going to say? And our minds will spin over memories in our life, and we're going to be thinking about the failures, the successes, the things we did, the things we wish that we did, and we will step before him, and we will give an account. That day is coming for you and for me. What is he going to ask us? Scripture clues us in. It might be something like this. Describe for me how you served me in your life. You might just begin thinking about how you're going to answer. How would you answer that? Describe for me how you served me in your life. What are you going to say? He says, I gave you opportunities to share with others about me. Could you please tell me what you did with those? Please list for me the sacrifices you made for my sake and tell me what you gave up to do it. Tell me every time you died to yourself to serve me. Give me as many examples as you can where you did what you did because you loved me more than yourself. It's coming. It's coming. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? And the question, of course, will be if what I say passes through the fire of his holy evaluation and comes out with anything to endure, anything to show of my life, or will it in the end my life be wood, hay, and stubble? That will be a sad day if that is the case. And I got to tell you, I don't know if I have ever preached a message or ever will preach a message that could have a more dramatic impact and transformation upon our church than this one. Can you imagine a couple thousand people passionately living for that day? What would that be like? Can you imagine the impact and the transformation that that would produce? I believe this is the truth that sends us in love across the street to our neighbors with love and compassion and with a message. Why do you do that? Why do you get to know them? Do you know their names, even? This is what motivates us to serve inconveniently. Like, if we really got this, there would be a scramble for the most inconvenient service opportunities in the church. Why? Because those are the ones that receive the greatest reward. The easy ones, the timely ones, the ones we can work into our schedule and it's no big deal to us, are also not a big deal to him. The trials that we would treasure would be the ones that hurt the most. Because by enduring in them, we can look forward to our reward. And you see, friends, here's the deal. When we really believe this, it's one thing for it to be taught and, okay, it's in the Bible, but then we go, you're all about to get into your cars and go home, and you're going to spend this week. And when we get back into the week and we get back into what we're comfortable with and we get back into our routine and what we're saying here sort of fades away into our memory, this is the danger of it. Why? Because you're going to die. You are going to die, and you have one life by which Christ is going to evaluate. What are you going to do with it? Now, old people, your days are numbered. And if you've not done much, I would get busy if I was you. I don't mean any joke by that. That's the flat truth. Young people, it has always been young people when they've gotten a hold of this that have gone out and done great things for God. Young people that are here, you might be looking at your career and how can I make the most money, and your parents are maybe even encouraging you with that. I hope not. Why don't you look at your life and say, how can I max my life out for Jesus? Someday, you will be really glad that you did. You see, this changes everything. When we really get it and when we really believe it, because we embrace the suffering and we embrace the service opportunities and we embrace the sacrifices and we embrace being stewards of everything that God has given to us. Why? Because I want to lay up treasure there. I'm looking forward to seeing Christ there, and I want to be commended by him and to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want. This is what sends people like our missionary Ruth Ann Mahone to a country I can't even tell you where she is for security reasons, to try to reach out to a fairly dangerous religious community there. Why is she there? Will she be glad she did that someday? You bet. You bet. This is what empowers Christians to obey God when it hurts and when it costs them something. Why? Because like Moses, we're looking forward to our reward. And this is even what Jesus did, friends. This is what Jesus did. Hebrews 12 says, why did one of the reasons that he went to the cross, why did he endure that? Because he was looking forward to the joy set before him. He endured the cross and despised its shame and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He was looking forward to his reward. And this is the way that it works. This is just the way that it works. Our light and momentary trials are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them all. I'm glad I could tell you that. The trial that you are in and the sorrow that you are in, when you faithfully obey Christ and work through that trial in obedience to him in a hard way and in a hard time, Christ, he doesn't forget. He does not forget, and he promises that he is going to reward you. And so we hang in there, and we don't punt, and we don't quit. We're not like people, oh, I'm going to give it a try, and then I'm out of here because it doesn't work for me now. No, no. You know what? It may not work now. It may not work now. But someday, the whole thing's going to come together. And we believe, we have to believe, every sacrifice, every stewardship, every service is going to be rewarded by Christ. And I can just tell you, for those of you that do, you cannot fathom. Someday you will struggle to fathom the reward that Christ is going to give. Imagine if you are Christ and you have infinite riches, infinite honor, and you love a faithful servant, and you've promised you're going to lavish him with reward. Think of what he is going to do. He is a generous king. Let's just quiet our hearts right now, and I want to give you some time. Just think about this. Give you a few moments to think about your life. What have you done? What are you doing? What are you hoping to do that might translate into commendation from Christ?
A thought-provoking question from Pastor Steve DeWitt. You're listening to The Journey and the conclusion of a message titled, God's Eternal Rewards and Why We Should Seek Them. If you'd like to replay today's lesson, visit thejourney.fm. Or listen on the go by subscribing to our podcast. Just search your favorite podcasting app for The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt. Well, today, as we contemplate the importance of living in light of eternity, we're reminded of the importance of supporting each other in our spiritual journeys. That's what we're all about here on The Journey, as we share the hope of the gospel with listeners around the country each and every day. But as a listener-supported program, The Journey relies in part on contribution from friends like you to keep this Bible teaching program on the air in order to reach those in need. So would you give a generous gift today? Every donation, regardless of its size, helps us make a meaningful impact in the lives of individuals and families across the nation. You can call us at 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. Or give online at thejourney.fm. As a gesture of our gratitude, we'd love to send you a book we consider a must-read for any Christian who desires to be effective in communicating the gospel. It's called The God Conversation. This book highlights the power of storytelling to transcend our biases and connect with people on both emotional and intellectual levels. In this book, you'll learn from expert apologists and communicators, J.P. Moreland and Tim Mulhoff, how to utilize storytelling to articulate your faith in effective and compelling ways. You can secure a copy of this invaluable resource by reaching out to us today. Again, call 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. Or visit thejourney.fm. I'm your host, Tim Svoboda. Come back tomorrow when Pastor Steve begins another lesson about eternal rewards. Learn how to live for maximum joy. Wednesday on The Journey with Steve DeWitt. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.